Hi everyone, welcome back to this latest episode of the JF interview series. I'm Jonathan Farrington. With me today is George Bronson. George is the founder and CEO of membrane.com. And as a lifelong entrepreneur, he's always looking for new ways to achieve improved business results using innovative software skills and process. What we're going to discuss today is, it follows on from George's interview in February's Top Sales magazine, when George made the bold statement, technology is not enough. So welcome, George.
Thank you, Jonathan. Nice to be here.
It's always good to have you back. Okay, look, that was a pretty bold statement. Maybe you want to elaborate on sort of, you know, what's the story behind that statement?
Yeah, and it's fun to hear people say that it's a bold statement because it seems pretty logical to me.
Yeah, and me.
But I guess because I'm running a technology company, it's could it be seen as a bit counterproductive to say that? But it's just my experience. I mean, if you look at the sales space, everyone is chasing sort of the latest shiny object or the latest tool that they can buy to prevent them from actually doing work. And I don't think that's a good way of looking at it. So you have to really understand how you sell or how you should be selling before you buy any technology at all. And there are problems at so many levels in selling. We have skills problems, we have managerial problems, we have process issues and tools issues. So we have to figure out which one to solve first. And it's usually not the technology that you should pick first.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that. And I think that there has been a complete defocus on skills. And you'll remember, George, we've discussed it often enough. When I formed my first consultancy way back when, I came up with a formula that would define my work, and it was skills plus attitude plus process plus knowledge equals success. And there's a reason why skills sort of takes first place, because yes, we have to have the right attitude in order to embrace the skills that we need. But I just think there's been a complete sort of defocus, as I suggested, on skills. And I think that's critical, frankly, in what's happening right now out there in the sales space. I remember that during the interview that we did for the magazine, you quoted Jason Jordan from his book, Cracking the Sales Management Code. And Jason said, companies introduce CRM systems before having operating instructions for their sales forces. I mean, you know, has it changed? Is it changing, or is that still really genuinely the case?
Yeah, I think when Jason wrote that, it was in the context of analyzing the performance. So maybe I took it a bit out of context, but I see that it's definitely still the problem. And I think the main confusion lies in how to sell. So because selling is not selling, right? If you're selling something very cheap to an individual or a consumer, you may not need a salesperson at all. You just build a very solid website, do good marketing, and you can do the whole inbound spiel. But if you're in a complex B2B sales environment, well, then it's going to definitely require a lot of thinking, skills, process, methodology to get that whole machine working. Yeah. So, and I think this is where people go wrong. They sort of listen to all the advice on selling as if all selling was the same. And it's not. So I think that's the first thing people need to sort of wrap their heads around. What type of selling are we actually involved in? Is it complex or is it transactional? Is it somewhere in between? And I think that's the sort of, to build your operating system, you can't just copy someone else's, because they may not be selling the way you should be selling.
Sure. Do you think it's a case, George, that far too many organizations invest in technology without first understanding what end result they're aiming for?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And they're also basing it on a number of assumptions that are wrong. I think if you look at all the big CRM systems out there, when they were designed, I think they were designed on the assumption that salespeople know what to do and they should just log what they've done. And based on how much they've done, the activity level, we should then manage the people, which is sort of a very bad assumption to make because salespeople usually don't know what to do, and what they did 10 years ago will not work today. So yeah, I think if oftentimes we go out and we buy technology that has been sort of successful, because that must be right, but it doesn't have to be at all. So it goes back to that understanding of how your buyers will buy or how you should sell to your buyers, and based on that, that's what you should base your technology decisions on. But I see a lot of companies saying, or asking me this question actually, okay, which CRM should I use if I'm a small company, or which CRM should I use if I'm a large company? So it's totally irrelevant how much you sell for. It's how you actually sell that you need to base those decisions on.
I couldn't agree more. I think we may have discussed this before quite recently, George, but the most recent figures that I saw were that the average company, and this is globally, and this is right across the spectrum, so it's enterprise and SMB, are getting are utilizing the technology that they've invested in as little as 35%. So in other words, they're just getting 35% of what they could be getting out of that incredibly expensive investment in many cases.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that can be okay. It's like if you look at, I don't know, Word or Excel, I certainly don't use 35% of what those are capable of, but I still get value from it. So I think in CRM, which is sort of my space, CRM and sales enablement, it's interesting because some users will not need to use the system as much as other users, and won't see as much value from it, but they will still see some value with it. So the problem is when the price or the investment is sort of out of line with reality, I think. So if you're paying as much for the one who's not using so many features as much as the person who's actually using the whole package, then it can become quite problematic because we're not talking about office licenses. CRM licenses can be quite expensive. So I think that might be a struggle is to figure out, okay, who, because the whole space is also, everyone is trying to find a good pricing model. And we are as well. And we've been scratching our heads about this for a while because oftentimes you create these tiers. Like, okay, we have a small, medium, large package. And you want to, and the tactic out there has been, okay, get people in on the small and upgrade them to large. And then you buy large for the entire organization. And that's something I've tried to sort of find a solution to because I sometimes think that it's okay that you have some people using the small version and some others are using the large version. So, but it's a difficult nut to crack, but I think we're onto something when we're working on that. Because you want to pay for, you don't want to pay for more than you need. Sometimes you don't use all of it, but if you have a need for some of the capabilities, sometimes you want to pay for them then. It's like modern cars. I think Tesla has this that you can buy an upgrade. Maybe I don't know if they have this or if it's just a rumor, but if you want more horsepower, you can basically upgrade and you get more horsepowers for a day or a few hours. That's a pretty cool concept.
That's cool, isn't it? I like that. I like that. I'm going on a long journey. I need a bit more oomph.
Yeah, or if I'm in the mood for some oomph, so let's buy some extra. That's kind of cool. I like that concept.
So, George, what do you think needs to happen for organizations to turn this downward trend around, and sort of improve sales effectiveness and, of course, quota attainment, which is something that's driving us commentators mad as it sort of disappears through the floor year on year?
Yeah, everyone wants an easy answer, a quick fix on that question. But I mean, the boring answer is that they have to really get to grips on how they should be selling and to create a strategy and then make sure that strategy gets executed and that people get the right skills and are coached. And I mean, there are a lot of things that have to happen to increase effectiveness. But I think maybe my quick answer would be to take it seriously. Because quite honestly, when I talk to sales leaders and company leaders, sales is still a little bit like a black box. They don't really understand it. They don't even have clear definitions on simple stuff like when does the opportunity pipeline start and when does it end? How do we qualify deals? Simple stuff like that is not defined. So they can't even answer easy questions like what's your win rate on new customer acquisition? It's like, well, we don't really know because we don't really have a clear definition. Everyone does it a bit differently. Like, that's not okay. So just taking these things more seriously is, I think, the starting point.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think in within that comment, you basically highlighted, I think, one of the single most obvious reasons why we're witnessing this demise, and that's sales leadership. I don't think there's ever been such a paucity of qualified, efficient, experienced, capable sales managers. And our good friend, our mutual friend, Dave Kirlin, suggests that the figure is around about only 6%, which is quite frightening. So moving on from your comments, let's think about sales enablement, because I know that's rarely far from your mind. I mean, it's become quite a buzzword lately. Buzzword isn't quite right. It's become fashionable, I suspect. In your opinion, what should sales enablement enable, and what doesn't it enable?
Yeah, that's a big question, of course. And I think the tools providers have tried to sort of own the word. So I believe that for many people in the tech space, sales enablement equals content management, which it's not at all only about, of course. It's not about the tools necessarily at all, but it's about, like we'd mentioned earlier, it's about everything. It's the training, the processes, the methodologies, the systems. And I think Tamara Schenk has a good way of expressing it when she says it's about orchestrating the execution of all those things for the benefit of the customer. And that's a huge undertaking. Which is why I find it super, super interesting. And I believe that sales enablement leaders, and to be a sales enablement leader is a very, very fascinating role to have in the future because you have to sort of live in a world where you understand both strategy, the execution, people, coaching, tools, and all these things. It's kind of a daunting task, actually. So I think sales enablement professionals, I mean, that's an area to be in the future, I think, if you want to make a good salary and be intellectually stimulated.
I mean, I agree, and I sort of return to your point about sales enablement technology, and of course it's only a few years ago that that same technology was called sales 2.0 technology. I do think there's a danger that we put this vast cloak over everything and call it sales enablement. If it's anything to do with sales, then it should come under sales enablement. And I think that's a big danger because I think that the people that are being tasked with overseeing sales enablement strategies within organizations need to wear several hats, as you suggest, but they probably only have experience, real experience, in a few of those areas. So they're having to be on a very fast learning curve, aren't they?
Yes, and I see some dangerous trends there where you, if you're as a leader or as the management team assign this role, and you see it more mostly as technology, so you assign it to maybe a quite junior operational, so like sales ops person, it becomes all about the tools. And that's not great if that person does not understand, I mean, sales and the orchestration of all these things that need to happen. So it needs to be, I think the leader needs to be come from sales, obviously, but also needs to have this more strategic hat on and understand technology, because technology will play a big part of it, I think.
But
you cannot just be a tools guy, I think.
No, I quite agree. It's going to be interesting to see how it continues to develop. My last question really is just an opportunity for you to talk to us about Membrane. I mean, what are you seeing in the cards for sales technology in 2019, and where are you going with Membrane's technology offerings?
Yeah, so we did a pretty massive shift end of last year, where we added the what we call the content hub. So the content piece we've sort of left out because we've seen other pieces of the puzzle be more important, such as process, methodology, coaching, analytics, etc. But there's a big need in the market to orchestrate the content. So we added that piece, and then we sort of repositioned, I guess, ourselves. We called us and the platform a sales effectiveness platform previously. Nobody really got what that meant.
Right.
Nobody was looking for a sales effectiveness platform. So now we're basically saying what we are, which is we've combined a very easy CRM platform with the sales enablement tools for B2B sales. So we're CRM sales and plus sales enablement. So that was a pretty big shift. We've been kind of on the fence on calling ourselves a CRM in the past because we can also function within Salesforce. But I mean, looking at our customer base, 80% of our customers use the platform and they use it as a CRM. So we're just going to go heads on with the small competitors like Salesforce.
Right. So you're very optimistic about 2019 then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We're doing very well. I think sales enablement is one of those words, like you mentioned, it's become a buzzword, but I think it rhymes very well with what we're trying to do. I mean, we're in this because we're in a mission to elevate the sales profession. So I think sales enablement, if seen as more of a holistic endeavor and approach, fits us very well. So I think this is going to help us be seen in the market more than previously.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be interesting, as I suggested earlier. Be interesting to see how it all continues to evolve and develop. Okay, listeners, do get across to Membrane. I think you'll be very fascinated with what George and his team are attempting to do. Well, in fact, not attempting to do, succeeding at. www.membrane.com. And George writes regularly for Top Sales World. He's one of our very creative regular columnist, and we're delighted to have him on board. George, it's been a pleasure as always, and thanks for sharing your wisdom with us and your thoughts and you know, indeed your forecast of what's coming next.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Okay, everybody, hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back again soon with another JF interview. Bye bye now. Bye bye.